So if you remember, where Moses has seen the bush, he's in front of the bush, talking with the angel of the Lord, who's also called God. And I asked the question, why is the below statement so important to Moses? Let's start there. And the passage I had was, so God speaking to Moses says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Why is that? Why is that important to Moses? Absolutely. Other comments? Yeah, so same connected Moses to which specific God this was, the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Israelites, the God of the patriarchs. So clearly identifying himself as which God this was speaking to Moses. Why is it important to the gospel? Mason? Yeah, so, and Jesus quotes this in a number of different places, but I pulled it from Matthew 22. And so Jesus speaking to the Sadducees, but Jesus answered them and said, you are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teachings. And so Jesus is calling that out. This is I love seeing in the New Testament what either Jesus or the apostles feel like the people should have known and understand. And here he's calling on this scripture and on this part, this story, and saying, when you read this, you should have seen this and been able to conclude that. And this is a demonstration that there's a resurrection after, because he is currently the God of Abraham, currently the God of Isaac, currently the God of Jacob. And all three of those would be physically dead. Other comments? So we kind of answered the next question. What is God's relationship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He's currently their God. Currently in that time, their God. And now, their God. Any other on that? I feel like I kind of combine those. Okay. How does God first call to Moses? So I suppose that may not have been terribly clear now that I'm saying it out loud. First call to Moses from the bush. Mason. Yeah. So what does that does that tell us about, if God's using Moses' name, what does that tell us about God? Does that give us any indication about God? Yeah. So whether Moses feels like knows God or not, God knows him and knows him personally enough to call him by his name and already knows and understands Moses, and just by him calling that gives some connection that this is not the first time God's looked upon Moses. So I put some other scriptures to look at. Yeah. So what were the other scriptures? Why did I reference those? Did you look those up?
When God called out to Abraham, he was sacrificed to Isaac. And the other one, Samuel, when God was calling to him.
Yeah. This is God using someone's name twice as a pattern. So he calls to Moses, Moses, Moses. He calls to Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. Samuel, Samuel. Did I spell that wrong? Yep, I did. Saul, Saul. And so this is a very, very common way for God to call to his people, to call someone to do something, whether it's prophetic or to speak on behalf of God or to come into God's service. This is this God sets this pattern throughout Scripture in a whole host of different places. Any other comments? Why Keynote doesn't? Sometimes it catches my spelling and sometimes it doesn't. I haven't mastered that. Maybe that is actually a name, Scott.
So the idea of him knowing Moses, from our perspective, he's been talking to sheep before. Right? He is not, if you go back to last class, he's not been using the tools that he has, the skills that he has. So God's mindset on time and knowing things is much different than man. So he's like, I can't do that anymore. But when he says he's a God of
I think the time element is a fantastic call out, because this is going. I mean, so if you think about from Abraham, from Jacob to Moses, we've got a pretty significant amount of time that scripturally we don't get a lot of. We don't see someone coming in during that time. Moses is. There's probably several generations where there was some gap, at least from a scriptural standpoint. And so tying that, I've been part of this the whole time. Like, this is me. This is me, my doing. Chase? That's a great call, too. Any other comments? So the last one was the word holy is used in Exodus 3:5 in reference to the ground. How is it used, and how should we understand that reference? So how is the word holy used?
God was where God was.
So I think, so I read this and read this, because there's an element where this, where this is taking place is a place where, like, we're going to center around this for the rest of this quarter, this mountain. But I think it's because God is here that the ground is holy. And we see so I'm no grammar expert, clearly we all know that. But we see a similar word used earlier in Genesis with reference to the Sabbath, so sanctified. And so the idea that this is something that's set apart, it's different. I think it's good to think about that God can make things special. He can say, this is set apart. I want you to pay attention here. This is something important. And I think we see that when he calls things holy. Like, this is special. I think that's important because we're going to get to a place later in this quarter where God's going to make some things not special. He's going to make them common, or he's going to use them for a purpose that maybe gets us we get a little uncomfortable with, even though we're not uncomfortable with him making things special. I think it's helpful to think that it's okay for the Creator to use something for a special purpose and not use other things for that special purpose and set them apart. Any other questions, comments on this? Let's jump into lesson 5. I'm going to read the text here. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, certainly I will be with you. This will be the token to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and tell them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, you shall tell the children of Israel this, I am has sent me to you. God said moreover to Moses, you should tell the children of Israel, this Yahweh, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and tell them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and have seen that which is done to you in Egypt. I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of the Egypt, to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. They will listen to your voice. You shall come and the elders of Israel to the king of Egypt, and you shall tell him, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God. I know that the king of Egypt won't give you permission to go. No, not by a mighty hand. I will reach out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do among them, and after that he will let you go. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it will happen that when you go, you shall not go empty-handed. but every woman shall ask of her neighbor and of her who sits her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. You shall plunder the Egyptians. Moses answered, but they will not believe me, nor listen to my voice, for they will say, Yahweh has not appeared to you. Yahweh said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses ran away from it. Yahweh said to Moses, stretch out your hand and take it by the tail. He stretched out his hand and took hold of it, and became a rod in his hand. This is so that you may believe, that they may believe, that Yahweh, the God of their father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Yahweh said furthermore to him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak, and we took it out. Behold, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. And he said, put your hand inside your cloak again. And he put his hand inside his cloak again. And he, when he took out his cloak, behold, it had turned again as other flesh. It will happen, if they will not believe you, or listen to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It will happen, if they will not believe these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take the water of the river and pour it onto dry land. The water which you take out of the river will become blood on the dry land. Moses said to Yahweh, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before now nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Yahweh said to him, who made man's mouth? Or who made one mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Isn't it I, Yahweh? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else. Yahweh's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Also, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He will be your spokesman to the people. It will happen that he will be to you a mouth, and you will be to him as God. You shall take this rod in your hand, and with which you shall do the signs. So we have significant dialogue here between God and man. We see Sonora had to listen to the interaction between Abraham and God for Sodom and Gomorrah this morning. And so a similar conversation back and forth, but we see that. And so I want to talk through this dialogue. And so God tells Moses from the bush, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you may bring his people out of Egypt. How does Moses respond to that? What's that? Sends him a text. What's the text say? Yeah. And how does God respond?
I'll be with you.
Yeah. So what's super interesting, so last week we talked about Moses. Like, who better to do this than Moses? Like, if we were grooming someone, we might do something like this with Moses. Moses has got 40 years in Egypt. In Pharaoh's household, he's got 40 years wandering, or 40 years in the wilderness, prepping him for the wandering. He's got both sides of what he would need to go forth and do this. But does God tell him that? That's not, God doesn't give him a pep talk. Like, that's how I would approach it. Moses, you're perfect for this. Like, you saw this before. Remember you killed that guy? Like, you thought, like, that's not how God approaches Moses. God approaches Moses with, you got me. I will be with you. That's all you need. God doesn't go the world's route of things. I got your back, Moses. He It is from God's perspective. That's in my mind. That's all Moses needs done. Period. Other comments, questions? Okay. What is Moses? What's next? Moses has got another comment. Yep. What's your name? And how does God respond? Yeah. He says, I am. And so this is a deep, deep well, this I am. Anyone, what's I am? Why does he say I am? So God, he says, I am who I am. And then he says, when you go to him, I am sent to you. What do we know about this phrase, I am? Yeah. There's he's the beginning of the end. Like this is I am an existing, the existing being. It's odd in English, I am. I suppose it's somewhat odd in other languages too. Translating in Spanish, it would be odd to use this phraseology too. There's something else that's conveyed by this that's a little hard to pick up in my mind in English, but so he exists, but there's an active part of this. So he is a God that exists and actively exists with his people. And so he's giving Moses the words to go to the people and say, hey, this isn't the God of the frogs or the locusts. This is the God that's always been there, the God of our fathers, yes, but the God that's always been there, that exists now and is actively existing, and he's heard us and he's going to free us. I do think something that's always, and I didn't put a slide for this, and I'm really nervous about stepping away and selling these things, so I'm going to look one more time, make sure I get it in my head. And you're going to laugh when you're like, you can't spell these. But so in the translation that I put up there, it uses Yahweh. What's Yahweh? Why do translations use that? Letters are close, but and so when we see Yahweh, it's the reference to I am. And then what about Jehovah? What's that? Yeah, so this is same word, all same words. So it's helpful to know that there are different words. So even in this text, we have God, which is not these words. And there can be a specific to Yahweh, Jehovah. Some translations will use Jehovah. Some translations don't write these out because of fear of taking the Lord's name in vain. And so they, which is was common with the, at least the later Jewish faith. So they'll just translate it. They'll denoted as Lord, but denoted a special way, so you know it's a special word. Any other comments there? So, and this is going to be the last question, but then God downloads a whole bunch of information to Moses and gives him a picture about what God's plan is. And now, how does Moses respond after that? Yeah. He says, the people aren't going to believe me. So up before, kind of his concerns felt, hey, you know what? I feel like I need a name for you. I need to go to the people. Why are you picking me? Like, some of these are like, okay. But now I feel like there's a weight that comes with it. He's having to weigh in. Now he has a picture of what's to come. And the people won't believe me. And so what does God do? What does God say? Yeah. So he asks him, what's in his hand? And what's the first thing he gives them? Yeah. So the staff, you throw the staff down, it'll turn into a snake. What's the next one? Yeah. His hand turns into leprosy, and the third. Yeah. And so Moses is fearful that you're giving me a task that is massive, and these people aren't going to believe me. And so God gives him the tools to demonstrate that this is more than just Shepherd Moses speaking to his people. Who is Moses concerned about believing him? Yeah, his own people. He doesn't say, I want this stuff for Pharaoh. Moses is concerned about his own people believing him. So God calls him to get the elders of Israel together. And I think because of our history, we think about that as more formal. We need to keep in mind that Moses brings some formality to that later, but here I would guess it's just the older leadership of Israelites in bondage. Pull these people together, and it's those people he's worried about convincing that God sent him. At least at this point, he's not bringing up Pharaoh. It's interesting to know that that's where his fear is, and that's where his concern is. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. It's hanging on. I've been here before, God. They didn't believe me when it happened. Scott.
Also, we'll see some of that fear played out, because if you're going to speak on behalf of people, then they have to deal with the consequences. And when he starts out, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And the people got really mad at him. So you have to have their support.
Yep.
In his mind.
Yep.
Or you can go talk to them.
Yep. Great. Other comments? Okay. Whoop. Sorry.
Afraid of Pharaoh, rather he was afraid of his people because he tried to redeem those first ones.
Yeah. Yeah, so Stephen in Acts definitely makes it, and Moses wasn't afraid of Pharaoh, that it was, he was afraid of something else. But it to your point, it definitely, I want to be careful. It feels like God is like, I'm going to do this, Moses, come along with me. Don't do this for me. I'm going to use you in what I'm going to do. Okay, so Moses has been giving these tools, these miracles. Now what? Now what's his next concern? No, he's not. Yeah. So he says, I'm not a good speaker. Is that true? It wouldn't have been true. It wasn't true 40 years ago. How does God respond? Yeah. Yep. I made your mouth. And God even says, I will be your mouth. And I will teach you what the words to say.
Just a question, I don't know if you look into this or not. Is Moses saying the same thing when he says, I'm slow of speech and of tongue? Or is he saying it in two ways? Like, I'm slow to think of things, and I'm not a good speaker also.
Yeah, so people were all over the place on this. Some people were saying this is Moses saying he has a speech, like a speech impediment. Like, I have a hard time when he was eloquent 40 years ago that something happened. There was compelling literature that this is basically Moses saying, I'm not quick on my feet. And if that's what he is trying to indicate, It would make sense why God isn't providing comfort in this way. Like, I will be your mouth. I will teach you what to say. Don't worry about that. Like, that's not your concern. Any other people know, research studied that piece of it? Other comments? Yeah. Yeah, and you can definitely see, like, even in a short period of time, people will lose confidence, let alone in 40 years, losing confidence. Okay. All right. We're still not out of excuses. What's his last excuse? So the World English translates it how most people think about it. I can't find it on here. So what does Moses say? Yeah. So the World English translates it, please send someone else. I didn't mark it. The text is, so I would call that there's a little commentary in there. The text actually just says, please, Lord, I had this down here. Please, Lord, now send by the hand which you send. Basically, send whom you will, type of thing. And most people take that as send someone else. I think that's fair. It's send who you will, and not that's not me type of thing. And so he says, please, Lord, send the message by whomever you will. How does God respond? Yeah. We see God get angry now. What does he do then? Yeah. He says, I'll bring Aaron. And so we see Aaron coming right back into the picture here of having a role in this. We're going to talk about this more when we get to the plague. So I want to make sure we're paying attention to Moses' concern and his concerns and what God does to kind of satisfy his concerns, and what the expectation of Moses and Aaron will be. And then I want us to pay attention to how that actually plays out when we get to the plagues and Pharaoh. There's a part that I never noticed before that we'll talk through. So how is Aaron described? Why Aaron? Yeah. So Moses was concerned about his speech. God said, don't worry about it. I made your mouth. I'm going to give you, I'm going to be your mouth. I'm going to teach you the words. And Moses is still like, send whoever you will. And here again, God is providing an avenue for Moses' speech and his concern for the speech with Aaron. And so he has this, God is going to speak to Moses, and then Moses is going to be like God to Aaron, and then Aaron's going to speak to the people. In we know it's Pharaoh, like we get to that, but it's still this conversation with the Israelites, the Hebrews, that's being played out here. And so you get this interesting pattern that comes about as Aaron being this mouthpiece for Moses. And will be key in the future of the Israelites. One more piece on this. So where's Moses when this happens? When all this conversation takes place? Midian at the bush. Where in the world did Aaron come from? Like it says, also behold, he, Aaron, is coming out to meet you. Like Moses isn't in Egypt. Aaron would have been in Egypt at some point, at least when they were kids. And so where did Aaron come from? How did Aaron get to leave captivity to come to Moses? I have no idea, but like the text just says, there's, look, here he's coming. But in my mind, clearly God has had a hand in this. Like, God has maneuvered things in such a way that Aaron ends up at the right place when God wants him to be there. And so there's something happening with Aaron that we don't get insight into that puts him here at the right time for Moses. But I don't know if Aaron would be old. He's older than Moses, so he would be, I can't remember, 83. I can't remember if he's somewhere in his 80s. And so maybe he didn't have to be a slave because he was old and he had more freedom, and so he had the latitude. But clearly something was in the works to get Aaron here at this time. Any other comments, questions? Okay. So provide the details of how much of the plan God shares with Moses at this point. So what do we get? What do we get about God's plan? What information do we get? Yeah. Give me some detail. What's that? Oh, first thing says what's that? I'll write messier when I can't spell so you guys can tell what's going on. What else? Serve on mountain. That wasn't even messy.
I couldn't hear what he said. It's like, it'll work. Well, Moses was going to be sent to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And tell him that he wanted to bring the people out. And he told him he was going to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey.
Yep. Livestock, cattle, goats, honey obviously comes from bees, but for bees to do their thing and make honey, there has to be fruitful vegetation. And so this is a rich land that people would want to be part of. What else? How do we get from king not listening to will let go?
God wants money.
Yeah. And it's interesting, it says all of God's, there's a like a magnitude of it, like full force of God is coming down here on this. And so we see, I can't remember, bring out of Egypt. So we see God's full force with wonders coming, and God saying, I'm behind you, Moses, with everything I got. Jody said it. What's left? Like, God just gave Moses everything. Like, this is the whole story. And not the details of what this God will strike Egypt with miracles. Like, he doesn't give them the exact miracles, but this is the story of God freeing the Israelites, even down to the plundering. Like, you're going to, not only am I going to free you, but you're going to take the Egyptians and take their stuff. You're going to be wealthy with their riches when you leave. And so Moses has a pretty good picture of what's to come, and here he does it pretty quickly, but has a pretty good idea of what is to come, and even as we get further, he'll get more and more detail before it even comes to fruition. But Moses would have a good idea, along with Aaron now at this point. So okay, we'll press on next week. Thanks everyone for your time.